You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Martin McNally, owner of Wright Bauer Brewing. Martin, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show, man. I am happy to bring someone that makes beer on the show. Maybe I'm biased. I don't know. It's a Wisconsin thing.
Yes, absolutely.
So how long have you been in business?
About a year and a half.
A year and a half. And what made you decide to start a brewery? Outside of being pretty cool.
Yeah, really, it's just a conversation me and my wife had.
Okay.
She asked me if I could do anything, what would I do?
All right.
Money, no object. And
sure.
I said start a neighborhood brewery. Like, that's what I was home brewing for over 12 years, and the beer was getting good. I was never doing it, anticipating starting a business.
Sure.
It's just something I love doing. So.
Okay.
But once the beer starts getting good, and you're like, you know, I worked in that industry for a while.
Okay.
In college.
And, yeah.
And she's like, well, why don't you go for it? Why don't you try it?
Sure.
So.
How long ago was this now?
That would have been about 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know, then it's like, all right. Then you start working on a business plan. You just kind of start going through the steps.
Sure. So this, let's just back up a step here. Was this just a casual conversation? She's like, what do you want to do? Like, you're just hanging out, getting ice cream kind of thing? Or is this?
Yeah, we're just at home.
Between jobs.
I was working in software.
Okay.
Doing quality assurance testing.
Okay.
I love the place I worked at and
yeah.
the people I worked with, but like the work itself wasn't anything I was super passionate about.
Okay.
And she knew that. Yeah. yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, you do your part and then you hand it off to the next person.
Sure.
And, you know, I do take pride in the work I did there and the products that we put out, but again, it wasn't like software was never like my passion.
Sure.
So I was an art major, and I did a lot of graphic design. That was
okay.
kind of more my career idea.
Sure.
Was that's how it was going to be.
Okay.
But then the beer brewing thing was just, I fell in love with that.
Okay.
So,
did you start brewing beer, you said about 12 years ago, something
yep.
like that?
Yeah, so it was when I was in college. So I was okay. getting my art degree, doing graphic design stuff, and I just had a roommate that wanted to start brewing beer as a
yeah.
hobby, and I just never stopped.
Brewing beer in college, I feel like, was a money-saving thing.
I don't think so. Well, maybe. I don't know.
It was a money-making thing. I don't know.
I can't sell it. But, I think we just were real into craft beer. And so this would have been, like, the early 2000s. And
okay.
There's some styles that you kind of had to make them because you couldn't even buy them.
Sure.
So,
okay.
Nowadays, the craft scene's, like,
it's exploding.
Hundreds of varieties
sure.
of styles and stuff like that. But back then, there's some that... Yeah, if you wanted to try it, you just brew it, see what it tastes like.
Wow.
And like the Kolsch, I don't know. Kolsch is a classic homebrew beginner beer.
Okay.
But you couldn't find a commercial one.
Oh.
For a long time.
All right.
You know, like easily. So,
okay.
But now Kolsch is kind of, you know, it's kind of come around, and I think that's probably because a lot of homebrewers are running breweries now.
Sure. So. Hey, I made this one. It was pretty good, so mm-hmm. let's just sell this.
It's a good beer.
So you've been going for a little while now, and there's other breweries that are popping up. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess you opened up right around the time when Full Mile started, right?
Yeah, we kind of squeaked in ahead of them. They had a much bigger project where they were building
yeah.
from scratch
mm-hmm.
on a plot of land. We bought an existing building, and it was a restaurant, and we adapted that to
sure.
our brewer pub. So,
okay.
I think we were open like 2 months before they were.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Now, them coming at essentially the same time, did that help or hurt? Or indifferent since people drink lots of beer?
Well, I mean, long term, it definitely helped.
Okay.
I think the downtown Sun Prairie, any successful business is going to be an asset to us.
Sure.
To keep people down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it is going through a little bit of a transition. The city is just growing so fast.
It is.
The more attractions we have down there, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I even told someone, they're like, oh, you know, does it matter that there's another brewery? I wish there was a third one or a fourth one, you know?
Oh,
I was
sure.
Like, yeah, the more, the better. So
I'll give it a year.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. So, I would welcome another one too. So, the clustering of good businesses,
mm-hmm.
and there are quite a few downtown now that, we just hope it keeps going. So
nice. Mm-hmm. It's going pretty fast and going pretty big. So.
Yeah, there's still some open spaces and exciting things that are coming, and so we hope it just keeps growing down there.
Nice. So your wife asks you, hey, what do you want to do with your life? And you're like, I totally want to brew beer. And so she says, great, go do that. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, really? Okay.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. But yeah, figuring out the steps and just taking it one step at a time. And, you know, you're kind of waiting for that roadblock that stops you or something.
Sure.
I'm sure there's thousands of people that wanted to do a brewery or brew pub.
Sure.
And they hit a roadblock. So you just kind of go through the steps and you're just kind of waiting for the roadblock, but you just keep plowing ahead. And before you know it, we were getting in real deep. And then eventually you reach like the point of no return and we're like, all right, we're really doing this.
You're going, so. All right. So you had mentioned when we were talking earlier that you put together a business plan that you had, it was quite pretty involved, it sounds like. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's the first step. I mean, you almost have to plan for your business plan too. Like what kind of how big of a business do you want to start?
Sure.
How deep do you want to go?
Don't mind me just trashing stuff here.
So like how big of a space do you want to start?
Okay.
How big of a brewing system can someone like a home brewer handle?
Sure.
Being myself. And then we also didn't want to have a lot of bosses. So we wanted to kind of control our own destiny. So making it manageable where we have total control at the same time.
So how did you decide, because you have food at your place, right?
We do.
Okay, yeah. So how did you decide we're going to be a restaurant brewery versus just a brewery, or versus wholesale versus retail? You have a lot of options, right?
Yeah, originally it was just going to be a brewery tasting room. That was the original business plan.
Okay.
And then we found the space for sale in Sun Prairie, and it was a restaurant space.
Yeah.
And it also includes two apartments. And we had to buy the whole building, but it already had a functioning restaurant.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And all the equipment, too. So it was kind of like a no-brainer. Like, having food is a huge benefit.
Right.
I think if I had to start from scratch and a new building, like, building out an entire kitchen is incredibly expensive.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah.
And,
the hood, like, the hood that's in our building is, I mean, it's like a $40,000 or $50,000 hood. So that's not something, you know, we were interested in, but it came with the building. So, like, you know, we got it at a discount, basically.
Right.
It was free.
Came
with the building. So it's kind of a no-brainer that we're going to start doing food, too. And like I said, I grew up working in restaurants, and cooking at home is a passion of mine, too. So.
Oh, nice.
And my brother, he was a big barbecue guy. He already had his own barbecue sauce recipes, rubs. He's cooked all the different cuts of meats.
Okay.
That's his, you know, big hobby. I was beer brewing.
Sure.
And he helped me with that too, actually.
Okay.
But his was like barbecue.
Gotcha.
And so when it came time, we're like, hey, we have a barbecue guy. We got recipes. Like, let's go that route.
Wow. And
and we have the kitchen, so let's do it. So it all kind of fell together, and I feel like we kind of fill a little bit of a void in Sun Prairie because there is no barbecue downtown.
No,
there used
not
to
anymore.
Be.
There
yeah,
used
there
to be,
used
right?
to be
Porktropolis.
And, yeah, and I've only had them in their food cart, and it was really good. I never went to their Sun Prairie location, but
apparently not enough people did.
So. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So it wasn't a problem with the food, that's for sure. Because I had them at the food cart. It's incredible.
So. It's good stuff.
Yeah,
awesome. So. How did you put together your business plan? Was it just you in a Word file, or did you have help some way?
Yeah, I had help. There's a man named Joe Watts, and he worked at Ale Asylum for a long time. And he actually put together a business plan for a Sun Prairie brewery. And it kind of fell through due to, like, he was trying to raise money. I'm not really sure what the story is, so
don't
quote me on that. But he shares his... business plan online to anybody that's willing to open up a brewery.
Okay.
He has a lot of spreadsheets that he shares online.
Wow.
That are like super valuable.
Sure.
You know, instead of like reinventing the wheel with so many new breweries opening up, he just has these like files that you can kind of customize and adapt and come up with like projections and incredibly smart guy. I think he might be working for Octopi now, but super generous. Doesn't charge anything for it. He's just one of the, I think craft beer people in general just like sharing information.
Sure.
And just helping each other out, knowing that we're all like working towards the same goal.
Sure. And just raising everybody else up.
Yeah, just improving craft beer in general. So,
sure.
And he's definitely a huge player in that nationwide. Like, he shares his stuff online, and, like, it's the best stuff online. He just happens to be from Madison.
Nice. That is cool.
Yeah, it's a great guy.
Yeah, because business plan, essentially from the experience that I have with the business planning class and all that, is it's a best guess, right? There's your best guess with data that you can come up with online, and there's tons of stuff that SBA puts out to try to help you. But in the end, you don't know how many people are going to walk through your door. You can guess, and you can guess what you should charge for stuff and how much stuff is going to cost you and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But in the end, I bet 80% is best guess.
It is definitely best guess. And I think once you open up, especially a restaurant, the amount, like, you think, oh, you got to pay your rent, you got to pay your utilities. There's so much more to it that you don't really expect. Like, getting the hood cleaned every 6 months
is
a huge expense. We have several fire extinguishers that have to get renewed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We rent a really nice, like, power dishwasher. It's like $200 a month. I mean, there's
wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice though.
Okay, well, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
It's probably cheaper than another employee.
Yeah,
to do
it'd
that,
be
right?
Like, yeah, instead of paying someone to wash it by hand. So
sure.
But yeah, there's so many bills that come up, and there's always like insurance and stuff like that too. So yeah, jumping into this, like, yeah, you start to see that there's costs of
right.
You try to predict everything in your business plan so that you can budget. But there's always going to be stuff that
you
had no idea. And it could be expensive things, too.
So. Yeah. I was just talking to a guy today about credit card processing. And he's a salesperson. So it was interesting, the dynamic, just talking to him about it. He wants to make the sale to process the credit cards. And me coming from business owner, it was like this 2%, 3% stuff is crazy.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of other stuff that you have to spend the money on. There's a lot of expenses, and so you just have to figure it out, right?
Right. Yeah, and pricing your stuff accordingly, it's hard. Like, and you also have to look at what the market's willing to pay for those things too. So maybe we don't make so much on the sodas we sell, but we make more on the beer we sell or something, or the food or something. So, I don't know. It's a way to
make it up, right? And when you're putting your plan together, you're basing it on some of the information that you have from other people that have done something similar, but it's not a brewery or restaurant type place in that exact location in that exact city.
Right. Like, I can't go to the neighboring restaurant and be like, hey, give me all the numbers that
you
have. Tell me, what are your sales at? Yeah, they're going to be like, hey,
how much beer you sell?
Buzz off. Yeah,
oh, it's funny you ask, right?
Yeah.
I have that spreadsheet for you here. I've been waiting for you to stop by.
We get a lot of good advice, you know, like you can be, hey, what's the busiest time of month?
Sure.
Surrounding business owners and stuff like that.
Okay.
People in Sun Prairie generally are very helpful, but of course, yeah, you're never going to have like those hard numbers.
Sure.
Like, you know, what their accountant comes up with isn't going to send.
Well, sometimes even they don't have them for their own business.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I think that's another thing too, is like when you're selling food and beer and you have all these costs, like even figuring out your own numbers is a
what's your margin?
Yeah, how much time do you want to spend? Yeah, I think we're making money.
Sure.
So yeah, it's difficult too.
Paying bills and you're getting paid, so it's all good.
I know, as long as the bills get paid and the employees get paid, it's like, all right, just keep rolling.
So let's talk about employees, because that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. If you're cool with that,
absolutely.
How many employees do you guys have?
I'd have to count, but probably close to like a dozen. A lot of part time bartenders. That maybe work like once a week here and there too. So
okay,
which is kind of nice. It's variety. We're a small enough place that you might see a different bartender throughout the week.
And sure,
we love all the employees we have right now. Actually, I feel like we have the best crew we've ever had, kitchen and front of house. So
nice.
Just a lot of great personalities. Everyone's like, just works well together. And
very cool.
Yeah, we're in a really good spot.
Nice.
We're very fortunate.
So when you said you've been around a year and a half, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a year and a half ago, before you opened the doors, but you're preparing to open the doors, you had to find your base employees, right?
My wife and I are the majority owners, and we have three partners.
Okay.
They're all family.
Okay.
My brother, his wife, and my wife's sister.
Okay.
And when we opened up, it was just the five of us.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think we were only open Thursday through Sunday, so we were doing like 4 days a week. Okay. Just kind of easing into it.
Just getting the feel for everything.
But we were doing like everything from opening to close and everything in between. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a grind.
But that was the intention was not to maintain that forever.
Oh, no. That was just to, like, let's get open. Let's get some money coming in. Nobody was getting paid.
Sure.
So it was just like, let's just get some money coming in so that we can kind of create a little bit of a nest egg, too, for owning the building. You know, if the furnace breaks, if something mm-hmm. breaks, like, let's save up some money.
Sure.
And then once we feel comfortable, we'll start bringing people in one by one.
Sure. Okay.
And that's kind of how we did, so... But we're to the point that, yeah, it doesn't run itself, but sure. It's a lot closer to running itself than
gotcha.
It was when we started, for sure.
That's fair. Yeah. Was it tough to find employees initially when you were ready for them?
I think especially in the kitchen, I think there's, in the Madison area in general, there's a lot of, becoming more of like a foodie type of town, like there. The demand for like quality kitchen people is really mm-hmm. high.
Okay.
And there's a lot of restaurants opening up. And I feel like there's just not enough people to go around, like really
sure.
like talented quality people.
Sure.
So you have to be patient and take time and hire the right people or train the right people. A lot of the people we do bring in don't have experience, but they have the right attitude and personality.
Okay.
And then
sure.
we train them and they've been some of our best employees. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So when you say quality employee, do you mean from a show up on time, ready to work kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or is this I've worked in the restaurant industry 20 years, so I have the experience to know how to prep. And
yeah, experience
kind of
is good, but it's not everything.
Sure.
Yeah, like if it's in downtime, are you cleaning something? Are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you prepping for the next day? Just motivated. You know, good workers is
sure.
more important than experience, I think.
Sure.
It'd be nice to have both, but like I said, like there's everybody's hiring, I feel like, in the kitchen right now.
I bet, yeah.
There's
yeah,
a lot of turnover. And if you do work in a kitchen, like you can say, hey, I don't really need this job. I can go across the street and get a job. You
right.
know? There's so many, because everyone's hiring. And it's nice, actually, coming from someone who worked in a kitchen growing up, like in the 90s, I feel like the pay that people get in the kitchen is a lot more fair than it was like when I was younger. It was almost
sure.
like a minimum wage job, but it was hard work.
It's like $4 an hour back then.
It's one of the most stressful jobs you can have working
sure.
in a busy kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I like to see that at least the industry is paying those people accordingly because it is not easy work. And
sure.
It takes a certain type of person that's able to handle that stress and stay calm under the pressure
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just stay focused and get that food out and stuff. So
sure.
With a certain amount of quality too. So,
right.
It's a difficult job.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for it. And, it was kind of cool opening up a place, and kind of getting back into that and, remembering all the stuff I learned growing
sure.
up in high school and college working in kitchens. And, so, but yeah, I think I don't know. Maybe now, like we're kind of training people more
mm-hmm.
into it that are just motivated, interested in food and
sure,
and it's going really well.
All right,
yeah.
That's very cool. So, what was the first job that you hired for outside of the family?
The first one. Well, it was funny because the first person we hired was actually family of Erica's. It's her cousin's kid.
Okay.
And it was a busser, really.
All right. What is the one job we don't want to do?
Dishwasher, right? Busser, and
okay.
Food runner.
Sure.
It's kind of like a all-in-one job.
Okay.
And he worked with us for a long time, and he did a really good job.
Okay.
And then we hired some bartenders.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And then eventually kitchen people, or?
And then we started getting some kitchen people, yeah.
All right. So just one, two at a time, just
yep.
as you need them?
Yep, one.
As you guys grow?
Yep.
All right. What have been some of the challenges that you've, I guess, didn't anticipate as you've gone for a year and a half, whatever? You had your business plan, you have your experience in the restaurant and bar world and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Were there some things that showed up that you just did not anticipate?
Yeah. Like the first one, like on that subject was like, yeah, the turnover in the kitchen is
mm-hmm.
like when there is turnover in the kitchen, I have to fill in
sure.
those voids and stuff. So,
sure.
You hire someone. Maybe they work for a month or two or three or four. But then when they leave, it's just like, it might be sudden. And so you try, I try to plan out my week. My, you know, I do all the brewing too.
Sure.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I have to be in the kitchen
for, oh, by the way,
3 or 4 days this week or something, sure, like that. And it comes out of nowhere. So, yeah. So that was a struggle at first. Like I said, that, that was like an early, you know, that kind of thing would kind of come up.
Sure.
We're in a really good spot right now, so that doesn't come up right now. But, and I think also just, staying fresh, like even though we're new, you know, just doing, we learned that, you know, having daily specials,
sure,
all sorts of different types of events, it's just keeping people interested in the business.
Just and aware. Back. Sure.
Yeah. And just, yeah, just keeping them intrigued. So you, but you have to offer something different. And that's, what my wife's main focus is, organizing all the events.
Nice.
And it's a lot. It's a lot. 'Cause it's more than just, oh, we want to have this live music. It's like you have to promote it.
Sure.
You have to book the person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay the person. You have to make sure that you're staffed for those events.
Sure.
There's a lot that goes into it. So like every week, sometimes two or three times a week,
we're having
different events. So just keeping up on that, keeping things fresh. But it definitely, you can see it in the numbers that, you know, you're always going to be busy Friday, Saturday nights. But how can you get people in on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday night?
You're gonna need some alcoholics.
Well, yeah, you can do, and we're not like a bar too. We're kind of like a meeting hangout space.
Okay.
So I feel like the events really work well as like a gathering space.
Sure.
Yesterday was a Sunday. I don't know when this is gonna air exactly. So it was a Sunday. Typically like a chill, slower night, and we just did a bring your own vinyl night. So my brother just brought in his record player. He's a huge record nerd.
That is a growing thing, man.
It's
so surprising because this is a business show, right?
Yeah.
And I bet we've had at least a dozen people talk about vinyl on here, and they're nowhere near the vinyl business, right? But people talk about it. It's crazy.
Someone in our family owns a record shop in Chicago suburbs.
Oh, very cool.
And so our whole family has been into I grew up playing records on my dad's stereo, and we're all into it. And my brother's really into it, so he has a really nice record player. He can play all the different speeds, and and so people just kind of bring in their records, they play it for a while, they hang out, have a drink, have some beer, and it was a good showing on like a Sunday, which would normally be pretty quiet.
Nice.
Sunday afternoon. So and it's something different too, so just kind of bringing something to the community that's just a little interesting.
Right. We don't have to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I'm super curious. So your brother brings his record player, and he's got a few albums, I imagine, just in case nobody shows up, right? Yep. But people show up, and they got their Michael Jackson Thriller album or something like that, and they're like, hey, will you play Billie Jean? Or
The way right now we're working it is that you can play one half of the album that you bring in.
Start to finish. Side.
That half, that side. So, like, I want to play side A of Thriller. It's like, okay, cool. And then you just kind of get in line. And like you said, he would bring his own music in in case there wasn't enough people. But he didn't even get a chance because there was enough people that, like,
had
enough music throughout the night.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I'd say it was, like, super packed, like, but it was, like, it was nice. It's, like, a cool thing to do on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And just people hanging out and just enjoying music. It was nice. And trying to bring stuff like that downtown. So it's been good.
What other types of events do you guys do? We got the record thing.
We just started an open mic. And I think, you know,
singing or comedy?
It could be anything.
Okay.
It was mostly singing this time. We only did it once so far, but we're doing it. It's booked once a month for the whole year. And it was super successful again. Like, I think they were going to give everybody like 10 minutes
or
two songs.
Sure.
But so many people were showing up, they had to cut it down to like, all right, you get 7 minutes.
Oh, wow. Like okay.
So, a lot of talented people live in Sun Prairie.
Sure.
Musicians that are just looking for a place to play.
That's cool.
And, you know, I think this being a business show, we kind of do these things once a month.
Okay.
And we try them out. And if they're successful, then maybe we'll do it every other week. I would love to see the open mic be a weekly thing.
Right.
And it might. I mean, the people that were there, they're like, man, can't believe we have to wait a whole another month to do this again because they're all excited. So, and we might have to extend the hours too because there's so many people that were lined up to play. So
very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you just have to let the numbers speak for themselves. You try it, and if it works, great. Yeah,
so
let's do it again.
Yep. So we kind of do these like more creative events. That, you know, it's good, like date nights, that whether you play or not,
sure,
you can come in. I mean, people did come in just to listen to the vinyl. They didn't bring anything, but they just came in to listen.
Sure.
Same with the open mic. I have no musical talent, but I had a great time just being there.
Sure.
Listening to all the people.
You know, poetry that you
spoke, I almost feel something. Like, and you know, it's fun too, because again, we have like total control over our business. So,
sure.
I think, I do listen. I don't write poetry or anything like that, but I do listen to it, or even like spoken word or hip hop or whatever.
Okay.
Having maybe a specific night for that would be really cool.
Sure.
Just because then you just have more of those like-minded people together.
Sure.
Whereas our open mic was a lot of kind of like folk music. There was some other interesting stuff though too.
Okay.
Some electronica stuff going on too. It was great.
Does it take them a while to get set up?
Not really. We have our own PA system that we try to get it. We try to buy one that was as universal, easy to plug into.
Sure.
And we do have the Two Hearted River Band. They've played at our place for several times, and they're a local group.
Okay.
And they offered to run the open mic.
Oh, wow.
And so they call it like Sun Prairie Open Mic.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's just at Reitbauer, but like they could do Sun Prairie Open Mic at the...
just insert place out, here.
Yeah, right? Somewhere else too. So
right.
Trying to make that its own thing, and maybe it moves around. So they run it for us, and I mean, they know what they're doing.
Sure. Yeah. Let them have it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. So you segued a little bit into marketing, so let's talk about that. You've been around for a year and a half. How did you get the word out initially that you're around, and then how do you keep telling people or just letting them know that you're around so that they keep coming?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. We do almost primarily just social media posts.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't gotten too into like paid marketing as far as like advertisements and certain...
Sure.
And
newspaper ads or something like that.
And we might. And it's not to say that it's not beneficial.
Sure.
We just wanted to like kind of lay low on that for a while,
mm-hmm.
Get on our feet, and then strategically... You know, if we're going to spend money on advertising, know where and when to do it.
Sure.
It is something like when you own a business, like every day people are coming by and saying, hey, we want you to sponsor this or sponsor that. And you want to say yes to everything, but if you did, you'd be broke in like a month.
Yeah. Right.
So, but, you know, and just learning the community, knowing what's working for other businesses.
Sure.
And we do, you know, even like charitable work or something like that, you get approached. It's literally every day. Or we get approached by musicians every day that want to play our place, but like you can't say yes to everybody. So
sure.
Our right now we're just kind of like, well, let's just say no for now, but like keep it in our back of mind. So
sure.
I think this year we might do more like be a little more aggressive with marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also doing beer festivals.
Oh,
There's ways that, like, when you're a craft brewer, you can let your beer do the marketing for you. So,
sure.
We're working on expanding the brewery so that we can sell more kegs to restaurants and bars.
Uh-huh.
And so we can sell the keg to a bar, but that bar is marketing our brand for us.
Sure.
Too. So I think that's our big focus right now is,
okay.
is working on that so that the beer can market for us. You
sure.
know? We were just at the Beer and Cheese Fest this last weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, thousands of people
sure
got to learn our name, so
right.
Just being more involved too helps. So
That's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So something like the social media stuff, it's not paid, right? You're just essentially posting stuff.
Yeah, we're just posting regularly. Yeah.
Okay. And is that you or you and your wife or
both? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she does more of the event focused posting.
Okay.
And I try to do more of the daily postings.
Sure.
And it's a job too. Like I think, you know, when you're running a business, it's every, you know, you're working on all these other things, but you always have to remember like, hey, I gotta blast something out real quick or, and you want it to be intriguing or funny or something. So, but it can be exhausting, you know, trying to come up with something fresh every day when you're doing all these other things. It's not like we have a social media like marketing person or anything like that. So
PSA, we're still open.
But it's important. It totally works. Like if a new beer comes out, you know, I put it online. Like people, you see the people, hey, can I get a growler of that new beer? Can I, you know, like it totally works.
All right.
And you can even look at the sales numbers, like that beer, especially on that first day or second day, it's going to sell everything just for like a day or two.
Okay.
But if you don't post about it.
Right. Nobody knows.
They're not going to come in. Yeah.
Awareness is the name of the game. Mm-hmm. I just had that conversation with another guy who was like, you don't need to do any marketing. You just have to be super good at your product or service.
No,
like,
no, you can
wrong.
Have the best. Yeah. You could be the best brewer in the world. But
if
yeah,
people don't know
if
you
if
exist.
If people don't know where to find you or how you exist. And I don't know. It's just, like I said, just staying fresh too. So like the different events, like just giving people another, just one more reason to come in.
Sure.
It's immense. And sure. So, you know, when you're writing your business plan and you're coming up with your projections, you know, you can base it on averages of what other restaurants do or whatever. But the reason some of those restaurants get those averages is because they're constantly marketing,
sure.
constantly reminding people that you exist and giving them another reason to come in.
Sure. Instead of basing it on square foot alone or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Instead of just saying
average
like,
town
hey,
size.
You know where to find us. So come over.
Right.
You know,
didn't
so.
You see this shingle hanging out?
That'll work for like a month or two, but
yeah.
And then eventually,
maybe.
You know, yeah.
Sure.
There's another new place that's opening up and another new place or something. So,
right.
Yeah.
The majority of your clients, I don't know if you know the answer to this, do they come, are they Sun Prairie within a mile or two kind of thing? Or do you have people coming from west side of Madison saying, hey, I heard
we
your
definitely
stuff was
get
awesome?
People from Madison, but I would say the majority of the people that come in are Sun Prairie residents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, again, just being a brewery is going to attract people from out of town or people passing through more than, you know, a regular lunch space or something like that.
Sure.
But I still think of us as a neighborhood brewery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
We see a lot of the same faces.
All right. Well, that's the cheers of Sun Prairie.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I guess we started talking about this a little bit. I want to talk about it a little more, if you don't mind. The challenges, I guess the things, the roadblocks that you didn't necessarily anticipate. Employees, you talked about that being one with the employees in the kitchen being a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Just employees universally now are a challenge.
Yeah.
And everybody, I've had the same problem.
Mm-hmm. And just picking up the pieces, like when somebody does leave, it's like, you know, you have to pick up the pieces until you can get that next person in, especially if it's something that's sudden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come and go and you should expect that. But when you only have one or two employees, when that one person leaves,
that's 50% of our workforce.
Especially if they're working 30, 40 hours a week.
Yeah,
it's a big void to fill.
Yeah.
Now that we have like 12 people, if somebody leaves, you know.
You can move stuff around.
You can move stuff around a little more.
Sure.
So, not to say that we didn't anticipate that. It's just a stressful situation.
No, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
And I think the other thing, as far as struggles go,
or just challenges. I mean, not necessarily insurmountable stuff, but stuff that maybe you didn't necessarily anticipate or happened sooner than you figured out.
Yeah.
Like, was working with the city okay?
Yeah, city was great. The Sun Prairie, at least in our experience, I mean, they're open for business. And, they strongly encourage new businesses. I mean, you can kind of see it on the west side of Sun Prairie. I mean, there's a new business opening up every day, I think. You
every
know?
Time I pass there and I think, what is that building going to be?
And they're very passionate about the downtown. Like, they really do want to see the downtown thrive. So,
sure.
Everybody at the city of Sun Prairie was super helpful and encouraging. I was telling you, like, you're waiting for, like, a roadblock or someone to...
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we're doing the inspections or, you know, you're waiting for someone to drop a bomb that, like, oh, that's a $30,000 fix or something like that. It was like the opposite. And I can't say if we had opened in Madison, if it would have been different, but they wanted to see us succeed.
Very cool.
Yeah. So
very cool.
And they come in now too. We're like kitty corner from, City Hall.
Sure.
And, I mean, I think they're all rooting for us and they're rooting for everybody downtown. So,
right. It's a nice area.
So we feel very fortunate to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very welcoming community. So
yeah, I can say we've been here 20 years. And downtown, when I first came here, was not as cool as it is now.
Yeah.
It was a, a lot of quilting stores, and just kind of, it was dingy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe it used to be something, now it's not. And I came from Eau Claire, which Eau Claire's going through a revitalization thing. Even the past 10 years they have been, where their downtown is kind of dingy, and now it's it's fancy. Yeah. So it's...
Yeah, it's not,
it's interesting to watch. It's cool to watch.
It's one thing to like to have people to fill the buildings, but another to have people come in and like restore the buildings renovate them. And because some of these, I mean, our building's 130 years old, I think. It's not just moving into like a leaky building. Like,
sure.
The previous owner put a lot of money into it. All the plumbing and electrical stuff had been updated, so that was a huge sell on for us to move in.
Gotcha.
But yeah, hoping that and a lot of the other buildings around the area, like people are, they're moving in, but they're investing into
sure.
it. And
sure, sure.
That's important to keep it alive and keep it long term too.
Yeah, you raised an interesting point. I wanted to ask you about the you bought the building versus just renting a space.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do that?
Initially, we were looking to move in to the east side of Madison. That's where we were living at the time.
Okay.
Monona Drive was like an attractive area for
sure.
us. And we started getting to some lease negotiations and pricing it out. And I don't know, I guess maybe we're a little like ignorant, but like when you read the lease negotiations, it sounds like you own the building. Like
sure.
We were responsible for the HVAC stuff.
And sure.
Like replacing that stuff's like $40,000. It's not like yeah. we have...
Right.
You know, $40,000.
You get to pay for taxes, insurance, yeah. if anything breaks,
like,
it's
on you.
Like, I
always assume, you know, it's not like renting a home where it's like, oh, hey, if I'm renting
right.
something breaks, at least I don't have to worry about
yep.
that.
Yep.
But when you go on this commercial stuff, like, you do have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
You have to save for it, or you have to have this nest egg or something.
Right.
And we're kind of like, well, if we're going to do all this, we might as well own
right.
the building.
If you're going to be liable,
like,
for it,
someone,
yeah.
Not say you're making someone else rich, but like... you're paying rent and they're paying off a building
right.
that you might as well own, you know?
Right.
So, and then my wife found the space in Sun Prairie, and we had eaten there. It was an existing restaurant. It's called Atlantis Taverna.
Okay.
And we had eaten there before, and I'm like, I remember, yeah, tall ceilings, tin ceilings, very
yeah.
old building. I'm like, yeah, that was a pretty cool building. Like, let's go check it out.
It was one of my favorite restaurants in Sun Prairie.
Yeah.
Also,
oh, it's great.
It closed. Yep. Yeah.
She does have a space downtown too. I can't remember what it's called, but
she
another great. Her name was Beth, and it was Atlantis Taverna. And then she has a space downtown. I can't think of the name of
another
it.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So her and her husband were running two individual restaurants.
Okay.
And I think they're just consolidating.
Sure.
They're just getting a little older and just want to have more free time. So
oh, very
she was
cool.
selling her building in Sun Prairie.
Okay.
We had eaten there before. It was great, and the building is. Tons of character that you can't build that kind of character anymore. Like,
no.
You have to buy it from
right.
100 years ago. So so we're very excited to do that. So, and we did. And doing the math, our mortgage is about the same, if not a little less than like our rent would have been.
Sure.
In like a strip mall in Madison.
Right.
So,
right.
And we have a lot more to show for it. I feel like a lot more character to show for it.
Well, better looking building. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have some landlord that.
Yeah.
You don't know what that's going to be.
And
right?
that's the other thing, too. Like, when you're installing a brewing system and you sign, let's say, a 5-year lease,
right?
They could jack up the rent on you, but you're so invested in that space
because
right. you put
you're
so
stuck.
Much. Yeah, like, installing a brewing system is not cheap. So
mm-hmm.
the idea of moving could be overwhelming. So maybe you just, you just have to agree to those increases
right.
or something like that. And like, yeah, we just didn't want to have to deal with that. Whereas
sure.
now we're kind of locked in. And
right.
we don't have to worry about it.
I just had someone, I had a conversation that was similar with someone that's using QuickBooks Online.
Mm-hmm.
And she was complaining because it wouldn't, QuickBooks Online was having a problem. And she's like, and they just raised the monthly nut because they can.
Because they can. Because you're locked
so,
in. Yeah.
You're so vested in it with all your information and stuff like that, that to move would be a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah, switching like credit card providers and stuff. And we did do that once already. But yeah, all that historical data you had
right.
using that one software. And then you found out, hey, maybe we picked the wrong one. Let's switch to this other one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you kind of lose some of that. It
right.
makes it more difficult to retrieve that data.
Right.
And but it's just part of business. So like I think, you know, when you do make a mistake, not make a mistake, but when you do change your mind, to just fail fast, rip the Band-Aid off, make the change, and then, and then go from there.
Just go. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. So is this your first business that you started on your own?
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. And how are you feeling about it so far?
Good. It's, you know, I was never like a boss before.
Sure.
You know, I've trained people or I've been like a manager before, but, yeah, it's different being an owner too. You know, your mentality is different.
Sure.
The way you see things are a little different in a good way. So like, you know, downtown is changing. And so, you know, we also live downtown.
Okay.
In a condo right behind our building.
Sure.
So there's things that we want to see happen downtown for our own selfish reasons, you know, maybe more like diverse food or something like that. But then as a business owner too, when someone says, hey, they're going to build, you know, they're thinking about building a 5-story apartment building,
or,
you know, kitty corner, I'd be like, yeah, do it. You know,
because it brings more people,
the more people that live in the neighborhood, the better, you know. But I could see if you own a house next door to that building, you might be like, hey,
less than ideal.
You know, what's going to happen with the parking and this and that? You know, there's all these other issues being like on that. And I was usually the person on that other side of things, you know, like, how is this going to affect me as just an individual living in the neighborhood? But then when you own a business, you kind of see things a little different perspective.
And, yeah, you either want more people or less people, right?
Yeah, and it's just kind of funny. And then, And I'm also a little bit of both, too, because I live in the neighborhood and I own a business in the neighborhood. Right. So it's just something I'm not used to, but I enjoy it. I mean, I'm excited. I'm way more focused on what's happening in the community, too.
Sure.
Versus anywhere else I lived. You know, you're just kind of living there and just watching what happens. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, we try to be as involved with as many meetings that we can go to.
Sure. For the city?
Yep. Yeah, we're part of the Business Improvement District.
Okay.
And they have their own events, and we pay into it through our taxes, but the city puts on events specifically for like the downtown.
Okay.
And
how wide of a swath is that? Is that in Main Street in its entirety, or just the East End?
Yeah, most of the East End. You'd have to look at a map, but I mean, it does include like the Nitty Gritty, Foam Mile, I think even like Angel Park. It does kind of branch off. It is kind of more like the downtown in general.
Sure. Okay. Not going down to Walmart or something like
that. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where the cutoff is, but yeah, mostly that
Bristol you said downtown. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they put on specific events for that. So we try to be as involved with that as we can too.
Cool.
Cause you do have some say. I mean, they're, you know, it's not a huge area where it's like, I can make a suggestion and like, it'll be heard.
Okay.
And again, it's just working, all the businesses working together to, to improve the downtown.
Well, that's huge.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Wow.
That was actually a big draw for us too. I know you know, we pay extra into it, like from a tax point, but the fact that the city is investing not just like money, but like time into making the downtown great.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big draw. Again, it's just part of being in a great community.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So we talked about some of your challenges that you didn't necessarily anticipate. What were some of the successes or things that went way easier or better than you anticipated?
I homebrewed for a long time, and I felt like the beer was good. And your friends tell you the beer is good.
Sure.
And I feel like I am probably like my worst critic. So but I think like serving it by the pint to the customers, getting instant feedback, and just people enjoying and liking the styles of beer that I brew was super rewarding. And like, but it was scary when I was opening up because I didn't know how people were gonna react. I was like, I feel like it's good, you know, in my head I think, you know, people are gonna enjoy this, but like what if they don't, you know? You know, you get some of that self-doubt. You know, and you spend years doing all this business plan stuff and projections and blah blah blah. And then you forget that it was all about selling a beer to someone and hoping they enjoy it.
You have to have a good product once you do the marketing. And
I
never actually
did that. I didn't have any commercial experience. So, you know, that was a nice surprise, is that like instantly people were interested in the beer.
Sure.
And they're like, hey, when's this one coming back? I like that one.
All
right. You know, so.
Well, that's super cool.
Yeah. So I was that was a big relief.
You know, they like it.
And same with the food too. So with the food, we kind of did a very limited menu, but what we were doing, people were like, "Oh, it's really good." So we added some more variety to it, but
sure.
But the feedback on the food has been really good too. I have a little more commercial kitchen experience, so sure. I felt like it was good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the beer was it was a little stressful, you know.
No, I get it. I get it. Beer can be touch and go, I guess, for a lot of people.
And the other thing too is the events. We put on an event, and you do like I was telling you, you got to promote it. You got to. Mm-hmm. And my wife does all of this. But you don't actually know until the day of whether it's going to be a success or not.
Right.
Sometimes it's halfway through and you're not even sure. People keep coming in sometimes. And that feels really good too. It's the same thing. You brew a new batch of beer. I like this. I hope people receive it well.
Sure.
You do a new event and you are invested in it. You're putting a lot of time and effort. Mm-hmm. And then you just hope that people show up. And then when they do, it's this great.
Sure.
Feeling
success.
You know? Yes. And you just see, you just look around. That's what the most rewarding part is. You look around and you see people laughing.
Right.
Having a great time.
Right.
And then, you know, I could look at the sales and be like, oh, our sales are up or down or whatever. But just looking around and seeing people have a great time.
Sure.
It's super rewarding. That's what it was really all about.
Totally.
We didn't do this to become rich. Right. Or anything like that. If I did, I would have just kept my job. In software.
Right. More money. Much better off. Yeah,
but it was more about building a community and improving on the community that we live in. And
well, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's been great so far. So yeah. That's by far the most rewarding thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you've been around for a little while, you've learned some things. Mm-hmm. What do you expect to be changing, or how will you grow? What are your advancements gonna happen in the next few years?
Sure. What we're working on right now, is I brew in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the hot side of the brewing is. So I have some big pots in there.
Okay.
They're kettles. They're, you know, 5 feet tall. And then we transfer it to the basement to ferment. Right now we're moving that hot side into the basement, everything into the basement.
Okay.
And what that'll allow us to do is, for one, open up a lot more kitchen space.
Mm-hmm.
I only brew on Mondays because that's the only day we're not open.
Okay.
So we'll be able to open on Mondays. Mm-hmm. For one, that's another day of revenue that we can get that we're not getting.
Right.
It gives me more flexibility as a brewer. So instead of trying to be on a schedule where I have to brew every Monday,
mm-hmm.
I can say maybe I'll brew on Monday. Next week I'll brew on Wednesday or whatever is necessary.
Okay.
And then we can expand the brewing. So if I need to brew twice a week, and that's the ultimate goal, so that I can expand how many fermenters I have. I can brew more often, and then I can sell kegs around town.
Sure.
And kind of get into that marketing thing. So, let's say I brew 30% more than I am currently.
Mm-hmm.
That 30%, I can sell them to restaurants and bars.
Oh,
that
nice.
Are kind of craft beer focused.
Sure.
And that's our clientele.
Right.
Hopefully, you make a little money doing that, obviously, selling kegs. But for us, it's more about just getting our name out there.
Just awareness.
Letting the product do the talking. And,
right.
And letting the bars and restaurants promote it for us just by having us on their tap list. So,
sure.
So that's what we're working on right now. Long term, we have the two apartments above.
Mm-hmm.
This might require a whole other loan, but we have an idea of turning that into an event space.
Okay.
So the apartments were built in the 80s.
Sure.
There's no historical. It's an old building, but these apartments are
they're nice. Neon pink and
they're nice, but they're outdated, and there's no we wouldn't be tearing down historical apartments or anything like that.
Right.
But we could open it up into a big event space, and
mm-hmm.
It would require probably an elevator. There used to be an elevator in the building.
Oh.
So there is an elevator shaft.
Okay.
But it was taken out probably in the 40s or 50s.
Oh,
or
something that. Old elevator.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm picturing just some guy with a crane.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we'd have to put one in there. Again, you know, none of this has been completely hashed out. We're still very new.
Right.
But we get approached for that kind of medium-sized event regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can also do something a little different upstairs. We could open it up as a bar, game room thing.
Sure.
Or maybe we have a lot of vintage arcade games and stuff like that. and then have like a separate bar, almost like a lounge hangout type of area. And then you can also rent it for private events. So, and you can probably fit over 100 people up there easy. So,
all right.
We do get approached or people want to rent out our space on a Saturday.
But, sure.
You know, we'd be closing down an entire restaurant on our busiest day.
Right.
And it's just not like financially like a good idea. But there's a market for it, I feel like, for sure. So, it's an idea we're playing around with. But yeah, right now we're just focused on brewing more.
Sure. Yeah. Just lay the foundation, brew some more.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense to expand
to
another level unless I could brew enough beer to keep up with both.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. That's super cool. So we don't have a ton of time left here, but as far as advice that you would give for someone, let's say that's planning to start any business, not even necessarily a brewery, is there some advice that you've learned over the course of time of having your own business that you would share?
Yeah, I think starting is like the hardest part, but just finding mentors. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can find online. But like I said, we decided, hey, we're going to start a brewery. All right, what's the first step? You just you start doing your research, you start finding out what the first step is, and you just keep going. And then, and you know, we just kept waiting for like a roadblock. And there were things that like happened that slowed us down.
Sure.
The explosion being one of them or something like that.
That'll make a bad day, right?
But
were you guys open or?
We bought the building the day of the explosion.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it was, oopsie.
Yeah, it was a rough start.
Sure.
But
just delayed you a month or seven, right?
I don't even know if it really delayed us as much as like the city was super occupied.
Sure.
You know, like, you know, we have to get inspections and stuff like that. And then, I mean, they were so busy with, you know, investigations and the fire department was busy. We had a lot of construction to do, but it was just, I don't know. You just didn't know what was happening at the time.
That's
like,
an everyday occurrence.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if the whole thing was just like fell apart. We weren't allowed into the building for 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, right. We didn't know if it was we were in the building when it happened and the windows blew out, but I didn't know this how much damage it was or anything like that.
Sure. You were in the building at the time?
Yeah. So we bought it at I think it was about 1 o'clock that day.
Okay.
And I think then we went and you know, we were very excited. Hey, it took 2 years to get to that point.
Right.
And we got, you know, let's go check out our building and move some furniture around. And then it was like 7:30, I think.
Wow.
And it was just cracking. Their windows blew out. And it was scary. And then you couldn't get in. So we were only in there for a few hours, and then we weren't allowed back in for 4 days. And
all right.
Yeah, it was a rough start. but, yeah, I guess as far as, like, advice goes to other people, it's like, yeah, things are going to come up.
Sure.
And, but you just keep plowing ahead and just keep moving on to the next step and just doing your research, too, and finding mentors that can – you know, kind of guide you because there's no like blueprint necessarily.
No, not an end all be all one.
Yeah. So, yeah. So just asking for help and relying on friends and family too. Even when you get open, like make your friends and family come into in business too. and they're going to be your best promoters too.
Sure.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, awesome. Well, Martin, thank you so much for being on the show here.
Thank you.
This has been cool. It's insightful. And you got beers. They can't be so bad, right?
No, yeah, they can't be bad.
It's all good. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening to this on the web, please do me a huge favor. Like, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw-In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Martin McNally, owner of Wright Bauer Brewing. Martin, I forgot to ask you, where are you guys located? So the listeners know, right?
We're on 238 East Main Street, Sun Prairie.
All right, cool. And then do you guys have a website?
We do, WrightBauerBrewing.com. That's RightBauer bauermeinbrewing.com.
Awesome. That's like a nice German name, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Does Bauer mean brew? I don't know.
No, it means farmer, actually.
Close enough. They make hops.
It's a euchre term.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.